Welcome to the Success from Scratch Show for your dose of real estate, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, sales and persuasion, and anything success. Nick Ruiz shares his real-world lessons from his 20-plus years of experience as an entrepreneur, real estate investor, and as a house flipper using his trademarked single-family triad formula. Now, here's your host who's been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, The Huffington Post, and is a two-time best-selling author, Nick Ruiz.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Success from Scratch Show. I am Nick, your host, and I'm going to go live on these platforms here really quick. So I know right now you're listening on the podcast probably, but you also can go to youtube.com, which I think YouTube's going to be the main headquarters, right? You go to youtube.com/Nick Nick Ruiz, N-I-C-K-R-U-I-Z. And that way you will be able to see this live and be part of possibly the live call-in show. Okay. So yeah, Instagram, it's going to be harder because you're not connected to the audio situation. All right. That's just unfortunately the way it is here. But anyways, okay, so we have a few things I want to discuss and bring to your guys' attention today. A few macroeconomic things, some success pieces and quotes that I think are important that you need to be implementing in your life. We're going to talk about the $400 per week unemployment extension, which I think is very important right now, and you need to know it. Even if you're not, if it's not applicable to you personally, it's just what it's going to do for the economy as a whole and what it's going to prop up. So pay attention, okay? I want to start with a quote from a famous Stoic named Seneca. I do love the ancient philosophy of Stoicism, all right? And today they tweeted out, "To bear misfortunes with a tranquil mind robs hardship of its strength and weight." Seneca said that. So what I've noticed as I've developed over the years as a person as an entrepreneur, I've noticed how much happier and successful and efficient I've become when I've been able to implement this quote. So they're saying, and I teach my kids this, okay? Bad stuff is gonna keep happening to you, period. It just will. Like, you're gonna run into problems. You're gonna run into headaches. You're going to run into total collapses of situations. Like, you're going to run into total devastation. Things that are beyond something you can even imagine is going to happen to you. And I tell my kids this up front, and my kids are younger too, you know? So, I want to give them reality. You know, some people think I kind of get too real with my kids, but I don't look at it that way. They need to know bad stuff is going to happen. Problems are going to keep happening. Your reaction is king. And this is kind of the thesis of the whole Stoic philosophy. Things are going to come at you, okay? Your reaction determines your life, okay? So your reaction to anything determines your life. So handling things with a tranquil and calm mind, take a deep breath, and it's hard, believe me. But what helped me was my bankruptcy. Okay, I went belly up. I filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy. The 2008 crash, as a lot of you guys know, eventually forced me into bankruptcy. And what it did is it showed me how to handle the most devastation with a tranquil mind. Now, was my mind tranquil at first? Absolutely not. Okay, I was miserable. It destroyed me financially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Like, I was bankrupt across the board. And what it did was it reframed my psychology. So basically it calibrated me to a point where, like, one of the benefits I got out of it was there's no real huge problems in life anymore. Like, as far as business goes anyway, there's always gonna be huge problems, but I'm saying the way I look at business problems, for example, they're just not that hard. They're not that devastating because I've already been through total devastation financially. So when I get whacked in the face with some weird problem that cost me 10 grand out of nowhere, or some basements halfway collapsing that I wasn't aware of. Like, I have a deal right now where I'm refinancing it, and there was some issue with the basement I originally wasn't aware of. I've owned it forever and the bank wants it done. And it's like I got to peel off an extra 8-9 grand just out of nowhere. And it's like, I used to like get sick about those things. But the reality is, you develop somewhat of an immunity and you develop a new way of reacting to it. So the Stoic philosophy, you changed what you did there. You changed what you did. No. Nope. Is it too far left, right? Or that's a, see that right there? Anyways, we are going to do live call-ins, but I wanted to talk. So the way you react to things is ultra important. Problems are going to keep coming. So wherever you're at in your life, it doesn't matter. Don't let that problem control your psychology. You control your psychology. Only you can do that. External things, circumstances, and events cannot unless you let it. Okay. Then there's another little quote that I saw somewhere. What was it here? I just had it. What did I do with that? Success is an intelligent use of mistakes. Boy, did I love that when I read it, because it's so true. Success is an intelligent use of mistakes. Mistakes are going to keep, I make mistakes every single day. Okay. I make mistakes across the board in every possible situation that it seems that sometimes, or I feel like sometimes there are days that I have where I'm like, everything's going wrong. I'm doing every, oh my God, I should have done that. And it spirals into, I should have done that. And massive amounts of mistakes that I continue to make. But as soon as I get whacked, I take that information. They're called rough draft moves. If you read my book, Success from Scratch, as soon as I get whacked, I take that information and I'm able to mold better solutions for next time. Okay. So some of the bigger news out there right now is this $400. There was a $600 a week unemployment. Okay. There was $600 a week extra unemployment on top of the existing unemployment. And now Trump just extended another one for $400 a week. Okay. So, and we're going to take call-ins in a minute, guys, and then it's going to get more fun here. He extended $400 a week. What does that mean? Well, it's an extension to keep the economy propped up. This may apply to you in your situation, the $400 a week, or it may not. Even if you're not eligible for this, or you're not getting this $400 a week, for example, I'm not. But it is going to keep things afloat for a while. People are going to be able to continue to pay their bills. The key is, the big question in Wildcard that a lot of people are wondering is, what's going to happen when this extended unemployment goes away? And this is part of the uncertainty that's out there right now. When people don't get the extra $400, can they pay their rent, which will then in turn, can they pay their rent and go buy stuff? So this is kind of like, this will trickle up into the mass macro economy, which is what you guys should care about as entrepreneurs and real estate investors. So if people don't pay their rent, landlords are going to suffer. So they're going to take a hit. If people don't go out and shop retail is going to suffer. And then if retail suffers, their commercial landlords are going to suffer. So real estate is intertwined into all of this, okay? Because people are always living places and businesses are always in locations of physical places, all right? Even places that ship, they rent warehouse space and all kinds of stuff, okay? So real estate is intertwined in all economic activity. So the key thing is this $400 a week temporary Band-Aid? We don't know how long it's going to be for. Is that going to be long enough implemented so that, is it going to be long enough implemented so that it by the time it falls off, there's some organic stabilization in the marketplace where people are going back to work, people are spending money again? Because we know this can't last forever. This extra unemployment is not a permanent solution. It's unaffordable, and in fact, it's unaffordable, period, even temporarily. We're printing a lot of money to make these things happen. But on a long-term basis, it's definitely not affordable. So the key is, let's keep the economy semi-propped up, keep money in some people's pockets. And yes, it's going to cause inflation, which is another conversation. But and then businesses hire. People go back to work. People feel safe again. There's certain uncertainty about that. That no one can 100% project. All right. So I want to roll into a couple more quick bits, and then we're going to go into some live call-ins and discuss any of these topics, real estate, etc. So one guy on Instagram said, good morning. I was wondering if you have the time, if you could make a post on what loans a new investor in real estate should use to help with equity, since a new investor may not have the funds that a longtime investor has. Now, I don't know if he's talking about rental properties or if he's talking about fix and flip. All right. But in the beginning, you get hard money loans or private money loans. Okay. Let me see this here. That was weird. Okay. Instagram. I'm back. Private money loans are hard money loans. Now, what are those? Those are asset-based lenders. This is what I teach. You want to borrow money from asset-based lenders. What are asset-based lenders? They are people that don't check your credit. These are people that lend on the deal. Okay? They lend on the actual deal. So if a house is worth $200 and you're buying it for $100 and you got to put $25 into it, you need a total of $125,000. Okay? But it's worth $200 when it's done. That lender is safe. Right? That lender's safe. Why is he safe? Because no matter what, if you don't pay him back, he gets a $200,000 asset and he only has $125,000 into it. So it's asset-based lending. This is how new people get in the game. You don't need good credit or some long job history. You find a great deal, you're most likely in the door. You call enough lenders, you'll get your money. Okay? So that's the answer to that. Why don't we take some live call-ins? If you're on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, leave your phone number, okay? Leave your phone number on Instagram, leave your phone number on any of these platforms, on Facebook or YouTube, and I'm going to take a live call-in at the moment. Let's see here. And I'll give people time to do that. Put your phone number in. We will talk to you live on the show. And we will continue. We will continue. Whether it's a multifamily question, single family question, success question, entrepreneurship question, general macroeconomic question. Let's see what we got here on Instagram. Hi, Nick. I'm a realtor. What are some things to do to connect with investors? The first thing you can do, I mean, it's a little tough now in the physical environment we're in, but go to those meetings. You know, most people are wannabes in those meetings. I'm not going to lie. These local REIA meetings, most people are wannabe investors who have no clue how to start. They almost are scared to start and they think going to the meeting is getting work done. Okay. Unfortunately, it's just the truth, but you can connect with people there. That's a great way to start. Okay. Odin Vasquez, whatever. Go to those local meetings. Don Fibonacci. If you know, you know. Okay. You know what? We kind of went live here on a downtime, all right? Kind of last minute. So why don't I quickly go over some numbers on an Excel spreadsheet I have that goes over a new building I'm buying. It's 14 units, okay? I'm buying it for $760, and I'm going to go down the current scenario, meaning where the rents are currently, and then when I raise the rents to what the market rate is, what it's going to be. So I can, just to give you a rough snapshot of what I look for when I buy buildings. So I got the building for $760. That's 14 units. That's $54,286 per unit. I'm putting 20% down, which actually is not coming out of my pocket. It's a 1031 that I sold two smaller buildings to acquire. So you remember that. Listen to prior episodes to see how I came up with that money. So the down payment's $152,000. My loan balance is $608,000, right? Buying it for $760,000. I'm putting down $152,000. $608,000's my balance. Now, the gross potential income. So the yearly amount of rent that comes in right now, is $91,800. At the current rents, okay? $91,800. I put a little small percentage of vacancy in there. So we're down to $89,964 in gross rent if I factor in some vacancy. $89,964 is coming into this building every year, currently. So I put in taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line, the tenants pay all their own heat here, which is phenomenal. It's not always like that. And the percentage of income that I have in expenses, meaning taxes, insurance, contract services, trash removal, common utilities, repair, maintenance, I even factor in there, 36.79%. Now, usually it's in the 40s, but because the tenants pay their own utilities here, fortunately, it is lower, which is beautiful. I do not have to pay heat here. So 36% of the income goes to expenses. So my net operating income, NOI, is what it is. NOI is $56,864 a year. So if I paid cash, let's say for the building, $760,000, I'd get back $56,864 a year. So the debt service. So when I factor in a 25-year amortization, which is basically how many years the loan is calculated into, and a 4% interest rate, which I actually will be able to get in the mid threes. I figured four on a worst case scenario. That brings me to a cap rate of 7.48% and a cash on cash return of 12.07%. Now, let me explain what those are, because I don't talk a lot about multifamily, but I'm going to talk more about it because it's the arena I mainly focus on. So the cap rate is short for capitalization rate, meaning your straight up return on investment for a building. If you write a check for a building and whatever percentage, whatever amount of money you get back, divide that into the purchase price, and it's your actual return on investment. But we don't pay cash. We use leverage and bank money for most of it, which is better because it provides a much better cash on cash return. So the cash on cash return is higher because I'm not writing a check for 760. I'm writing a check for 152,000 and financing the rest. So that brings my cash on cash return to 12.07%. So after everything's said and done, I'm going to net $18,353 a year in cash flow. And by the way, that's in the current situation that the building is in, okay? The current situation that it's in with the current rents that are all too low, by the way. They're all too low. So when I improve the building, get the rents to where they need to be, let's change one thing here, 760. It's a cool calculator I have that really breaks things down. Okay, so the same down payment, obviously, right? The same terms are in place for that. Now I can get the gross potential income up to $101,640, right? $101,640. Minus vacancy brings me down to $99,607 is what will gross income coming in to the property. At the same 37%, actually it should be 36, hold on. Okay, at the same percentage expense, that changes things. So the debt service stays the same. So 4% interest rate, 25-year AM. But now instead of $18,353 a year in net cash flow, now my cash flow is $24,451 on this 14-unit building. $24,000, almost $24,500 per year. Clear in my pocket after all expenses. So now my cap rate turns into 8.28% with a cash on cash return of 16.09%. That's a beautiful return on your money, 16.09%. Okay. So, and if I wanted to sell my new improved building, if I wanted to sell it at, let's say, a 7 cap, which I think I could, I'd be able to sell it for $900,000 and I paid $760 for it. See, the way multifamily works is if you improve value on multifamily, yes, you can dress it up and do cosmetic stuff, but not like single families. In multifamily, the more a building earns, the more it's worth. It's literally a calculation, okay, which we can talk about on a later date. Guys, if you love this show, if you're on listening on Spotify, iHeartMedia, or Apple iTunes and Stitcher and all that, please leave me a rating and review. And also, comment under this on YouTube and let me know what you want to hear about in future episodes, because I'd love to talk about it, guys. I eat, sleep, and breathe real estate and business and entrepreneurship, okay? I don't eat, sleep, and breathe making videos. I breathe this business, period, okay? So anyways, if I sold it at a 7 cap, I'd immediately be able to sell it for $900,000, 760 to 900. I'm not going to do that because I have other plans for this place, but that's the whole point. But let's say I sold it for the $900,000. A year from now, after I raised all the rents and optimized the income, okay? So that's 140 more grand. On top of the 152 I put down, I'll 1031 that. Now I have just around 300,000 to 1031 exchange into a bigger building. In fact, if I had 300,000, 20% down on 1.5 million. So now I can trade that into a $1.5 million building without opening my wallet. Do you guys see the power of this? Without opening my wallet, I can buy a $1.5 million building and let the cycle continue. A year or two later, improve the rents, add some value. You see how you can trade up into really big buildings really fast? So, yes. And by the way, I'm about wrapping up here. A little shorter episode, guys. But if you want to do a live call-in, you can leave your phone number on Instagram. If you want to do a live call-in on the show, leave your phone number on Instagram or on Facebook or YouTube. And we can get you on the show for a question if you have one. If not, that's fine too. We can wrap up. Let me just do one thing here with my Excel spreadsheet. Okay. So any phone numbers or not? Or should we wrap up the show? Okay.
We should get a lot more viewers now.
Okay.
Okay.
So Alexander Alvarez on YouTube, Nick checking in, ready to hear what you got. Just sent two offers this last hour. Good for you. If you're not writing offers, you're not making money, guys, in real estate. You know, you can talk about real estate, you can buy courses and seminars, but if you're not writing offers, you're not in the game. You're still sitting on the bench. You want to get on the playing field? Put offers in black and white, even ones that you know are unacceptable. Way too low. Sell, you think the seller will laugh at you. Put offers in black and white. John Perez on Facebook. Hi, Nick. Hey, hi. Yep. Mike Smoke, got to provide solutions. That's right. DB Mo. Nick. George Ortiz. Nick is the real deal on YouTube. Yeah, I mean, guys, I do real estate. And I do it all the time. And I love it. This stuff is not getting old to me. So why don't you comment on YouTube? Let me know what you want to hear in future episodes. We'll keep this one kind of short and sweet. But stay tuned. I can talk more about the Stoic philosophy that I try to adopt in my life. Okay. I do like Stoicism. I'm starting to introduce it to my daughters. It's a great philosophy because there's a lot of pain in the ass people. There's a lot of headaches in life. There's a lot of problems and situations, and the reality is it's going to continue. Like, hey, my daughters, I'm telling them, they're young girls, problems are going to come, and they're going to come big, and they're going to come hard in your life. Your reaction to them is what makes your life great or not so great. Looks like we got a caller here. Got Alex Alvarez. Let's see what Big Alex has to talk about. Kind of a mellow little day here, short little episode. We were out in the field earlier.
Please enter your password.
Alex Alvarez.
You have new voicemail to listen.
Big Alex, get ready, boss.
Hello?
Alex Alvarez, is that you?
Yes, sir. How's it going, Nick?
Big Alex, where are you calling from, bro?
I'm here in Miami, Florida.
Okay, hold on one second. We just had a little technical difficulty here. No biggie.
All right.
No, you keep... turn it. Okay, that's fine for now, Robert. Okay, sorry. Technical difficulty is solved. So you're calling from Miami?
Yes, I am.
The land of Tony Montana? How you doing, brother? Hey, you're live on the show. What's the good word, bro? Talk to me.
I'm doing very well. So I have two questions, kind of what I'm going through right now. The first one is pretty much like, I'm kind of doing a JV with someone that pretty much presented the deal to me. And I figured I could find a buyer. It's in an area up north by Jacksonville. And I'm not really, you know, I just kind of wanted to know, how would you go about finding a buyer in a rural area? This is where the property's at.
How do you find a buyer in a rural area?
Yeah.
Well, like, how do you find a buyer anywhere?
I've been very successful with Facebook groups and Craigslist, and you know, that's just my or pretty much seeing LLCs that have purchased properties on Zillow for, you know, for cash and things of that nature.
Okay, so what's stopping you from doing this area?
I'm very unfamiliar with it. I mean, I've been just trying it, but I don't know if I'm not diving deep enough. It's just I'm having a little bit trouble pretty much finding an end buyer. I mean, I have people that do invest, but they haven't gotten back to me. I don't know if the numbers are making sense or not.
Well, if you followed my material over time, when it comes to wholesaling, I talk about and teach very heavily buyers first. Okay? Whatever market you're in. When you have your buyers first, and especially when you know their criteria and what they like to buy, then as you look for deals, you reverse engineer those deals per buyer.
Okay.
So you're in a scrambling mode because you have a deal, but you're going to an area where you have zero buyers, which means you need to hop in those Facebook groups, bro. You know, Craigslist ads. You got to do kind of a little quick blitz marketing. You can buy buyers lists for certain areas online. People have those for sale, you know, but you're more in scramble mode, bro, where when you have buyers on the front end and then you go find your Jacksonville deal, guess who's in the driver's seat? You. Right?
Gotcha. Yes, sir.
Buyers first. I've taught it from day one. So you're in a situation where you can easily do a deal and it's solvable. This is not a big problem. This isn't a problem at all. It's a situation you have to now adapt into quickly because you didn't necessarily get the buyers first on the front end. And that's very important in all of wholesaling. Buyers first, whether you're buying a list, whether you're, you know, whatever you're doing to get your buyers. There's fake ads on Craigslist. There's, you know, the whole deal. You know how to find buyers. I know you do. Facebook groups, you know, the whole thing. All right. Buyers first. Yes. Then you just find deals and reverse engineer them into your buyers. Capiche?
Yes, capiche. I have a second question about a deal because I'm actually working remotely in Montgomery, Alabama. So this one lead is probably going to be my hottest deal or most profitable, if you will.
Okay.
But he's not ready to sell at the moment. And, you know, you could tell he's not as educated as real estate. So luckily for him, that's where I come in. You know, and the numbers would be perfect if he accepts, you know, $10,000 below what he's willing to accept. The only issue is, how do I get him under contract considering that he's not ready to sell tomorrow? You know, he's ready to sell towards November, I guess.
Okay. Well, you can offer him all your great services. You can tell him I'll pay cash. I'll buy as is, clean, easy, no inspections, blah, blah, blah. That's all beautiful. Mm-hmm. But one thing you have to know about this business is it's all about your marketing has to be repetitive and you have to constantly be in front of sellers. Because the reality is you're going to be in front. If you market properly, the reality is most of your sellers are not going to want to sell or you are they're not ready to sell right now. And that's okay. So what I always tell people is there's not enough. There's the best salesman in the world will not put a house under contract where a seller is not motivated to sell at the moment, period. You can't sell someone into motivation. Motivation is derived from life circumstances and property circumstances. And if he doesn't have any of those circumstances that produce a motivated seller, there's nothing you can do. You have to keep marketing and constantly be in front of people because the more marketing is a volume game. The more people you're in front of, the more likely you are to strike people that are at the point that are ready to go under contract and get rid of their property. Understood?
Yeah.
You're not going to sell him on getting under contract with slick sales talk or any of that. That's not going to work. That's why I love this business because you don't have to be a good salesman to do deals. Meaning if you're doing enough proper marketing and getting in front of enough people, the good news is you can be a total idiot on the phone and you'll still get deals under contract because you're going to be catching sellers that need to get out now. Okay. So you're not going to get this guy under contract if he doesn't want to sell right now, period.
Makes perfect sense. So you wouldn't even say, you know, normally 30 days, you know, time frame. So you wouldn't even say go beyond that, let's say 90 days. Just to like, you know, reach that point where he might be ready to sell.
Stay in front of him. Keep calling him. Call him every couple of weeks.
Keep following.
Hey, John, just want to know if you're ready yet. Hey, John, this is Alex. Just want to stay in touch with you. Maybe you're probably not ready yet, but I just want to know. There's a 25 unit or 24 unit in an area that I really like. And I call this seller once a week. And you know what happens every week? It's probably been 40 weeks now of calling. First, it started with a letter. And then eventually he called me from a letter and said, hey, I may want to sell down the road. Now I have his phone number. His personal number that I couldn't skip trace, by the way. So it's great that I have his phone number. So I call him every week for 40 weeks. Guess what's happened every single week for 40 weeks?
The rapport has been built. He knows.
No. The rapport was built on an old call. Guess what's happened for 40 weeks straight? Zero answers and my very friendly voicemail. No one answers. I leave a voicemail every week. That's how I do it. Guess who's going to win in the end if they operate that way? Me. I have a friend. I have a friend who purchased a multi-million-dollar building recently, and he's been calling this seller on and off. Guess how long? Great building. He stole the building. It was an old guy that eventually retired. What year are we in? 2020? Guess what year he started hounding this guy over the phone?
2017, 3 years ago, maybe?
1996.
No, wow.
Almost 25 years, bro. The guy was like 65 at the time. Now he's 90, and he finally sold it to my friend. Okay?
Wow, so you just got to stay in their face. No matter how long.
Bro, and that's obviously an extreme example. Who knows if you're even 25 years old, okay? But my point is, I'm not saying call a guy for 25 years. What I'm telling you is that I'm willing to leave voicemails for years, especially for these bigger deals I like, these bigger multifamilies. I will make a 30-second voicemail call every week. It's literally a ding in my phone, call Chris. I already know he's not going to answer. But guess what? The voicemail is still on, his voicemail. So I'm going to still say, hey, Chris, just Nick checking in again. I just want you to know I'm still willing to pay cash for that building as is. No questions asked. I'd love to talk to you. And I'm 99% sure that every time I call, 99.9, I'm 99% sure he is not going to answer and I'm going to have to leave a boring voicemail again. But I'm willing to do it. Do you know why? Because I've had deals where I've followed up for 2-3 years like that. And 2.5 years into weekly voicemails, the guy answers and says, yeah, you know what, Nick, I just this, that, you know, life excuses. I was sick or my son was, in Florida and I had to go over there and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of it could be BS. He may just have said, screw this guy. I'm not going to answer his call. But the point is at one point when I end up reaching a guy, the life circumstances are going to line up where he's going to want to get rid of the property. And guess who's in front of him? Me. You know what makes me sick? Years ago, I used to send letters 2-3 times to someone. And then it turns out I hear that it's sold. So I do all the follow up. And then some other schmuck happens to drop one postcard in front of them 6 months later. And they go to them because my letters were junk mail. Those first few mailers. But if I would have kept sending and following up, I would have been the guy in front of him, but instead someone else was. So years ago, I had so much pain from those situations that pain drove me to change my behavior and produce much better follow-up. Follow-up is king, bro. You don't follow up, quit the business now. You know, I have guys, hey, I sent out 1,000, 2,000 letters and I didn't get one deal. That's not how this works. Right. That's not how this works. Follow-up is boss, whether it's on the phone, via mail, everything. Hammer these people, okay? In a friendly and respectful way, hammer and hound them. When you literally talk to a guy and he's like, Alex, get the F away from me. I don't want to hear from you ever again. I'm not selling this property. When they get like that, okay, fine. You take them off the list. You know what I mean? There are people you have to take off your list and you have to stop hounding. When they're aggressive, you know, next time I hear from you, I'm going to call my lawyer and sue you. First of all, no, they're not, because you're not doing anything illegal. But it's just those are the situations where you're like, all right, I'm going to stay away from this. That's when I stopped hounding people.
Gotcha.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, just
absolutely
in the questions people ask, they ask from their, you know, micro stages. But once you do this, as long as I am, I'm trying to see things on a macro level to really give you the most value and maneuver you in the best possible direction overall. Meaning I'm trying to answer your question and then some, you know what I mean?
No, I appreciate it. You went above and beyond.
So I want you to just kind of reframe how you just do things in general. Beat down doors, bro. You will win. The only reason people do not make money is because they don't follow up enough. You don't have to be a good salesman. You don't have to be slick. You don't have to have a silver tongue on the phone. That's not how this works. When you're in front of enough people through multiple forms of marketing, the right people are going to say, I need to sell and I need to sell now. I got to move across town. I'm getting a divorce. We have to liquidate the estate. It has to be closed in 2 weeks. My mom passed away. I have my house of my own. It has too much work. I just need it out of my life. You don't have to be slick to get those under contract. You just have to be in front of them when they make that decision. Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
I do.
Alex, anything else from you, boss?
No, I appreciate it, man. I'll be tuning in next time you come back on.
You know what? I appreciate that. And we're still working on a way to do this on a regular time where it's like, hey, you know, Thursday's at 12 Central, but I'm working on it. It's tough for me to commit to these things. Do it. Turn on your notifications. Everyone listening, you should. The reason is I'm out in the field making things happen. You know, I'm looking at deals. I'm looking at deals. So it's hard for me to do this like studio time thing. I'd rather be out doing real estate deals, but I love giving value and showing you guys love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, Alex. Well, listen, take care, buddy. And I'm really glad you called, okay?
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Robert, what do you think? Good?
I think that's good. I think you said a good time for our show, for the live show. Thursday's at noon.
Yeah, I know, right? I just threw it out there. You know, I got a guy named Dominic. There's a guy named Dominic that wants to be on the show. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Should we get Dominic? Dominic. I think Dominic wants to be on the show. Dominic. I like that name. Big Dominic.
Please enter your password.
Let's get Dominic on. Did I say Dominic enough times?
You have new voicemail. Too.
Robert, you crispy?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
ECT.
Okay, yeah, ECT, man.
That's an inside joke. That is funny. Sorry, man. That is straight up. Where's Big Dom?
Hello.
Is this Dominic?
Yeah, this is me. What's going on, Nick?
This is Nick Alpha, Success from Scratch. You are on the Success from Scratch from show, Dominic. How you doing? Where are you calling from, brother?
I'm calling from Maryland, man.
Maryland. Okay. So what do you got for me today, Dominic?
Actually, first of all, I'm going to tell you, man, I've been following you since 2017. Bought your whole source. Your wholesaling course, been to multiple properties, still haven't got a deal yet, but recently I've been on Zillow, making offers. I made like, 30 offers in the past week. Went for property yesterday, took my buyer in. My question is, do these sellers tend to lie about other investors?
Okay. First of all, see if you can get a better connection, Dominic. It's like every three or five words you say, it gets glitchy. So I'm trying to strain to hear what you're saying right now.
1 second.
Yep. It's almost like every... he hung up. Well, I think his phone died. Something was goofy with that. So I am going to call Dominic back in a second here. Hang on. Whoops. Let's see what a couple guys on Instagram are talking about here. How do you get out of this thing? Okay. What a story on follow-up. Yes, REI, Chris Leon. That's right. You also build that relationship throughout all that time following up. That's right. God is officially on Insta Live speaking. Ex-official. Love it. You think in this time it's great to investing in stock markets. I don't mess with the stock market for multiple reasons. Okay. Let's get this beefy here. Let's get him on the call here.
Please enter your password.
I'm going to try Dominic again. We'll see if his phone is corrected.
You have new voicemail.
If not, we can move on and wish him the best of luck and get back with him next time.
You have reached the voicemail box.
Okay, something went wrong with this phone. That's fine. All right. So I am going to end the Instagram feed right now. Okay. Let's end that. We're still on the podcast. Don't worry. Boom. Okay. Okay. So here's what we're going to do now. We are going to continue the show for a few more minutes. Kyle Raymer on Facebook, Kyle Kramer says, I've been following up with an older gentleman every 2 to 4 weeks for the last 2 years on one of his properties I really want. Just got it under contract Monday. That's what I'm talking about, Kyle. That's what I'm talking about, brother. Congrats. Seriously. Relentless follow-up wins. Crybabies lose. Hey, I called him every time. He won't answer my calls. I don't care. Leave the message. Hound his mailbox. Do whatever you got to do. Knock on his door. Follow up is king. The people who do it win. The people who cry about it lose. You want to lose or you want to win? All right. So, yeah, we're trying new stuff with the show. This was a multi-segment show, kind of went macro on some things, talked about some success quotes that I love, a stoic philosophy quote, went into live calls, talked about the deals, my 14-unit breakdown that I'm buying, et cetera. So I'd love to know your thoughts. Leave a comment below with what you want to hear more of and what kind of insights you want to hear about. Believe it or not, this macroeconomic stuff is important. And you need to know what's going on for the sake of your business. All right. So if you're listening on the podcast app, Spotify, Stitcher, by the way, the podcast is always going to have the most extended content most of the time. So anyways, if you're listening on any of the podcast platforms, make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube. Hit subscribe and hit the notification bell. Okay. Do that. And also make sure you leave me a rating and review, not just 5 stars on Apple iTunes. Leave the thing, write the stuff. Hey, I love the show. This, that, and the other. It helps. And if you're on YouTube, give it a thumbs up. That's going to make YouTube know you like it and that you want to hear more of it. Okay. And you want to see more of this stuff. Okay. You got to tell these platforms you like it. Otherwise you're not going to see my content. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to give him one more shot. I think he has something fixed now on his phone. So let's see, okay? Make sure you share this with your friends, okay? And show up on YouTube live because that'll allow you to be one of the call-ins, which is fun. That's what I like doing the most. This should be an all call-in, right? I rattle off a couple bullet points and you guys call in.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, Dominic, you good?
Yeah, I'm good now.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Now let's start over. What do you got for me today, brother?
Nah, first of all, I want to say you're a great teacher. I've been following you since, 2017. I bought your wholesaling course. I got your Success from Scratch book, and I've just been following you. So
I appreciate it.
And you're a great teacher. I want to say that first. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
No problem. My second question is, basically, I've been to a few properties and never got one out of contract because some of these sellers want too much and my buyer is not willing to pay. So recently, I've been on Zillow for sale by owner. So I put out like 30 offers in the past week. Yesterday, I went to go see a property. It's in Waldorf, Maryland.
Okay.
My question is, do these sellers tend to lie about investor making another offer? Like, one, he wanted 275, he had one investor offer 255. So I took my buyer, we went in the property, saw it, and me and my buyer discussed it. And he told me, because he a contractor as well, and he told me about things that need to be fixed, close to $80,000 in repairs if you want to sell it at market level. So my question, do these sellers tend to lie so to get you to offer more?
Well, here's the thing. Of course some do, of course some don't. There's no like blanket answer. Do sellers lie? Yes. Do sellers tell the truth? Yes. Depends on who the seller is. But over the years I've developed, you know, some ways of easily finding out. So, you know, you always think, hey, is he bluffing? Is this guy bluffing? You know, like for example, I had a deal that I'm actually closing on next Friday that I'm buying, that I wanted to pay around, I wanted to pay, and this is a perfect story that's going to line up with what you're talking about. So I wanted to pay $165,000 to $168,000 for this property, okay? That's what my math told me to pay. I'm going to buy it, close on it, fix it, and resell it. This isn't wholesale for me. So I'm going to buy this thing for $165,000 to $168,000. And I thought that was a pretty high offer, meaning I thought that was pretty fair. Like, I was kind of like, I don't think anyone's going to pay more than this because that's just what I thought. So anyways, I call him and I go, I can give you $168,000. And or actually, no, I'm sorry. This was in front of him. This was in front of him. I calculated it quickly in front of him while we were on site. I said, I'll give you $168,000.
Okay.
And he says, okay, you know what? I can't accept that. I go, oh, what's wrong? I thought that was, you know, roughly in the ballpark. He goes, it is, but I do have an offer for $180,000. So is he bluffing or is he telling the truth? So I said, okay. I said, well, I don't think I can get to $180,000. I'll be honest. That's a little tight. I'm not sure how he's able to pay that much. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's what he offered. And I think I like took one more shot at him. Like, is it as is, clean cash? Are the terms in place? Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think I can do that. So I'm going to, and what I always do is I still always leave it open-ended. I never walk away saying I can't. I walk away from him saying, right, I don't think I can do that, but I'm going to really sharpen my pencil. And maybe there's things I can modify in my, you know, remodeling or think maybe I could think, maybe I could do a couple extra things to get a little more on the back end and make up for it that way. But I just don't think 180 is likely. Okay. Well, and then his answer was, okay, well, if you can beat that, the place is yours. And if you can't, I understand. That was his answer. Usually when guys are bluffing, they don't pretty much say that. So I call him back an hour later. Right. I'm like, yeah, I'm still working on it. Bruce, his name was Bruce. His name is Bruce. I'm closing on it Friday. I said, I'm still working on my numbers, Bruce. I don't think I can get to 180. And he just quick and short was like, okay, I understand. Let me know if anything changes, and like hung up. So that tells me he's not bluffing. He is not interested in anything. I'm like, cause I said, I'm like, and I forgot. I said, I can probably get into like the 172, 173 range, Bruce. Yeah, no, I just, sorry, but I'm going to go with the other guy.
Oh, wow.
And made it real quick. Like, I'm going to go with the other guy. Okay. Does that sound like he's bluffing at that point?
Not at all.
I mean, when I hung up, I was like, okay, this dude's for real. He has an offer for $180 in his hand. So then what I did is I modified a few things on my end, et cetera, et cetera. And bottom line, I came back and I said, I'll give you $181. He goes, send it over. I'll sign it now. That dude had an offer for $180. Because I let, and by the way, between these conversations, I let like a day or so pass. Okay. And he wasn't bluffing. He had an offer for $180. I changed a few things I'm going to do to the property and make it so it makes sense. And I'm going to make money on it. But all you can do is basically, quote unquote, walk away or, quote unquote, hang up the phone, however you terminate conversations, basically saying, yeah, it's probably not likely. And if they don't reach back out or if they're still like, well, because I have some sellers that'll say, like, let's pretend that he was bluffing. Yeah, I have an offer for $180. And then I say things like, yeah, I'm in like the 165 to 168 range. I don't know. I'll have to take a look, but I can't get to 180. When they say, well, and you know, so should I get, and then I'll say something like, should I not even bother getting back to you if I can't do the 180? When they say things like, so I'll say things, this is another little prying comment that kind of can extract information out of them. Should I bother getting back to you if I can't do the 180? And then if they say, no, just no matter what, call me and tell me what you think. When they say things like that, I'm like, oh, well, why would you want me to tell you what I think if I can't do the 180? You know what I mean? So that's something to keep, that's something to think about too. So there's ways to, these are subtle ways to find out if someone's bluffing or telling the truth with another offer. And I've been through it many times, you know. Sometimes they're bluffing, sometimes they're not. But these are the kind of strategies you're going to have to deploy in order to extract that information is my point, okay?
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Appreciate that. Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you're in Maryland, you said?
Yeah, Maryland.
Keep pushing, bro. It's a volume game. Keep pushing. The guys who don't make money, don't write offers. You have to be writing offers. It sounds like you're really executing on that. Stay in front of sellers. Do what you got to do. That's how the magic happens. There's no special magic formula. you know, secret vault of information that you can unlock on the internet that tells you all the answers. No, this is a consistency game. That's why I love real estate, because it doesn't require certain skill sets, doesn't require high intellect. It doesn't require special connections or any of that nonsense. It doesn't require a big bank account. What it requires is persistent people who are pushing for success nonstop every day.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
All right.
Appreciate it. Out of all the real estate gurus, you're the realest one, Nick. Just want to tell you that.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. And that's what I try to stand on. What you see is what you get, bro. How you see me now, how you see me if we were in the street, how you see me if I met you somewhere, it's all the same. I'm a dude who loves doing real estate deals, and I just convey my knowledge to good people like you. That's it, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro.
Stay tuned. Hey, subscribe and hit the notification on YouTube so you know when I go live next, okay? And, you know,
Yeah, I'm already subscribed, so that's why I saw your live popped up.
Beautiful. And then if you have any other, you know, what I'm trying to do is if people are on YouTube, you can leave a comment or question right on there, and that'll help me, you know, that'll give me content for the next show. Like if you have a specific question, drop it in the comment on this show, and then I'll answer it on the next one, stuff like that. So for people listening, that's something you can consider, okay?
That's a bet. I got you.
All right, Dominic. Well, listen, take care, brother. Pleasure talking to you, man. Have fun out there.
All right. You too. Thank you, man.
Okay, thanks. And that was Dominic. So I think we're going to wrap up here. That was a good show, Robert, huh?
Agreed.
All right, cool. So again, guys, if you're on YouTube, leave a comment of things you want to hear in the next show. If you're listening on the podcast, you can go to YouTube and do that. Again, youtube.com/ Nick Ruiz, NICKRUIZ, and subscribe there, because that's where you're going to be able to see the show live. Usually we publish these audio versions that you're listening to on the podcast a day or two after. If you're on YouTube and Facebook watching here, you can catch us on the podcast app as well. But, you know, you hear what these people say. You know, I'm not here. I'm not bragging about anything. One of the most common comments I do here is, Nick, out of all the quote unquote gurus, which I don't even like that name guru. But the point is, out of all the people that are out there online, you seem like the realist. And it's. The reality is there's nothing to seem. The reason I seem like the realist is because I am the realist. You know, I'm a real estate entrepreneur and investor. That's my main business. And when I have time, I like to put out content for you when I can, when the situation aligns for me to put out this kind of content. So just giving value, guys. If you do get value out of this show, show your love by thumbs up on YouTubes and shares on the platforms and ratings and reviews if you're on a podcast platform. Okay. I really appreciate it, guys. So till then, I'm going to end the broadcast on the live streams. And now it is just me and the podcast, the audio, which it will always be the most expanded version. So if you're listening here, just remember that this is where you're going to hear the most stuff. Robert, what can I give the special audio only podcast listeners? What can we do there? What can I give them as a final note? Look at Robert on that promotion tip. Be sure to tune in, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure you do subscribe to all the podcasts wherever you listen to, Apple, whatever you're on. Make sure you hit subscribe. Let me read that Stoic quote again. To bear misfortunes with a tranquil mind robs hardship of its strength and weight. And God, is that so true? And I know that from very personal experience. Take a breath. You know, like I teach my kids. Complaining or worrying or getting ultra angry, those negative emotions, they don't solve the problem. And I know that sounds like common sense, but the reality is they don't. They actually make things much worse. The problem's here. It's happening in real time. Why would you want to double and triple the amount of anguish that you're in by having a poisonous state of mind react to it? Not easy. I fail at this almost every day. So this is not something like I just learned and a light switch went on and I'm flawless every time a problem comes my way, because I'm not. But I try to stay conscious of this. I try to stay conscious of this philosophy because it's just really, really important. Okay. It's really important and it is life changing if you adopt it. I just noticed multiple experiences on a personal level where I'll be in an argument with my wife, for example, and my knee jerk reaction would be to, you know, elevate it with some angry negative comment, but instead I take a deep breath and respond in a completely different way with tranquility. And it's just like everything magically kind of dissipates where it could have elevated into X, Y, and Z, or in a business transaction when I'm debating someone and we get heated. You can derail negativity. This is where, you know, people, you know, you have control over yourself and no one else. You know, when you're in a debate or in a conflict with another person, you want to control the other person, but you can't. You can only control you. But here's the good news. When you control you, in a way, you're controlling the other person because now their reaction has changed. So you actually are controlling the other person through your reaction. Capiche? So that is it for this special mini audio bit exclusive, which you cannot get on any other platform. I appreciate you guys. Again, subscribe, leave a rating and review, the whole deal. You know what to do. I'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Success from Scratch. Make sure to subscribe and feel free to leave us a rating and review. And most importantly, make sure to share this episode with someone who needs to create financial freedom and generational wealth. To continue the conversation, head over to our social channels. Follow us on Instagram at Alpha Home Flipping. On Facebook, find us at facebook.com/Alpha Home Flipping. And on YouTube, go to youtube.com/Nick Ruiz. For complimentary courses and real estate resources, go to alphahomeflipping.com.